quotes I'm about to read are two posts from Reese Witherspoon and then the response from Ina Garten. Reese Witherspoon said, "Let's talk about habits, exclamation point. Are there any that have improved your daily life? Here are some I'm working towards," Reese Witherspoon said to the world. "And there are four. Number one, start the day with a big glass of water. Number two, get 10 minutes of outdoor light." She even has the link to a light that you can expose yourself to. "Number three, spend 30 to 60 minutes reading without distraction every day. And number four, in bed by 10. No late night TV binges. Try to get 8 hours of rest!" Exclamation point. That's not so bad.
No, those are all attainable, I think.
Well, that's not being all Gwyneth Paltrow goopy. Right. That's just fair. That's not too preachy. Ina Garten said, to quote at Reese Witherspoon, "That sounds great, but I'm probably not doing any of those things." Here's the post from Ina Garten. "My formula is easier to follow. One, drink more large Cosmos. Two, stay up late watching addictive streaming series. Three, stay in bed in the morning playing Sudoku instead of reading a good book. And number four, spend more time safely with people you love in a pandemic. I do what I can." I like Ina Garten. I don't think about Reese Witherspoon in this space that much, but I'm on Team Reese here. I'm not saying I do all that stuff, but come on now. This is no reason to dump on Reese.
It seems like Ina might be kind of kidding, though, because to me, the Reese Witherspoon recommendations are pretty attainable, as you say.
Yeah.
And maybe she's, you know, especially think about drink a lot of Cosmos. Just seems almost like she's joking a bit on that one.
Boy, it's problem with the written word. You don't know
I don't know.
You don't know the tone.
Maybe I'm giving her more.
I'm reading more. Ina, who I don't know to be this way, although I'd love to be her husband, Jeffrey. Good Lord. But anyway, I don't know her to be snarky per se, but this strikes me as snarky. This strikes me as kind of trolling Reese. And what did Reese do to hurt you? But maybe I'm reading it wrong. Tom Fortino, what do you think about that? Whose team are you on there, Team Reese or Team Ina?
Well, you know, John, maybe the takeaway is we should have some balance, right? You know, you can enjoy yourself every once in a while, but also, you know, be responsible. So maybe that's the takeaway.
Okay. So, and by the way, here's Tom Fortino. Nice segue, by the way. I know where you're going with balance your portfolio.
Uh-huh.
He's the founder of the Alpha Wealth Group. But if we did this then, Tom, it would be start your day with a big glass of water and then have the Cosmo. But that's probably a good idea.
Maybe the Cosmo's after work. I think that's the decompression moment.
Yeah, maybe we could do a little of each of these. Stay up late if you want, reading a good book or Sudoku or TV, but just don't do it every night.
There you go.
Tom Fortino is the president of Alpha Wealth Group, and he also has a Sunday morning radio show on WGN with our Elise Glink. What's the biggest number or financial news story you're watching this week? Is it the Fed? Is it interest rates?
Well, it's a combination of things, but certainly the Fed. Obviously, Jerome Powell is testifying today, his nomination hearing. I mean, I wish we could have some boring events, but then, of course, we have CPI tomorrow. It seems like it's kind of never ending. I was thinking it's kind of like the Rosanna Dana economy, right? It's always something. If it's not one thing, it's the other thing, and we're dealing with, you know, now the Omicron, and then we've got, it's just the supply chain issues. Just some normalcy would be good. And I think Jerome Powell made a comment that it's a long road to normal, and hopefully we can get somewhere close to that over the course of the next, whatever it may be, 4 to 6 months.
What are we thinking, 4, maybe 5 interest rate adjustments this year?
You know, he's said 4, they've discussed 4. He did make a comment that they, you know, they'll see. And that's just the way it is. We'll have to see how things go. We have to keep in mind, too, when we talk about some of these interest rate adjustments, I think it's not uncommon to see these overreactions. You know, if you're talking about 25 basis points, which is 0.25%, I don't foresee large increases in interest rates. I mean, we have to be realistic about that. And I think one of the biggest takeaways, which is important too, he's talking about these asset purchases, stopping those in March. So I think these are all good things. He's been criticized, and there's been some, I think, validity to those criticisms. But, if we can just have some certainty, that's going to be helpful. And you see the market react today.
What are we at right now? Let me look here. It's S&P's up 18 points. It's about to scroll over to the other two indices, but it's not off 400 the way it was 2 days ago on the Dow anyway. And the NASDAQ took it in the shorts too. At one point, it was down 240 yesterday. Which, you know, Bob Surratt, let's see, the Dow's up 32 points right now. Bob Surratt was talking to somebody, and what was it they said? What was the tech giant that accounted for 10% of the growth of the S&P last year? It wasn't Apple. It was, no, it was the other one. It was Stephen Jobs' company. I don't know if you've heard about this company. They do computers and chips and things.
Oh, you're talking about in the S&P index?
Well, anyway, I guess the point of all of that is, are we going to get a full market rebound? Is the entire market going to participate in the elevation of these indices?
Well, you know, most of the, to your point, you're talking, you know, when you look at the top five in the S&P alone, because these are cap weighted. In other words, you know, when you see Apple's $3 trillion, you know, Walgreens is a $40 billion company. Apple is a $3 trillion company, so it's 30 times the size. And so five of these companies, Tesla's over the trillion, you know, and down the line, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, 25% of the market is driven by five stocks out of 500. And more of them are down than are up. And so, you know, the argument, and I don't want to say the argument, one of the thoughts here is a couple things. One is, should we be a little more selective on the stocks that we're going to own? In addition to that, should we be looking, and we've seen it, has been somewhat of a rotation more to some value stocks. Should we own some of those in our portfolios? Because these high flyers, some of these tech stocks, get hit a little harder when we see interest rates go up, when we see inflation go up. And we're going to find out tomorrow where that's at.
What are we, I'm sorry, what's tomorrow?
The CPI.
The consumer price index comes out in
For December.
And what's the guess on that?
I've heard 7.1, and as we talked about before, John, it was 6.8 in the month of November. So tomorrow we're going to come out for December, and they're projecting it to be a little higher.
But overall, are you optimistic about 2022? Do you think that when we get through this Omicron variant, that as long as there's not another one right around the corner, and that's a big hope right now, but do you think that there's a considerable upside? Is there a lot of good activity just on the sidelines waiting to happen once we get through this?
I do think there's a lot of positive things. Once, I think certainly emotionally, I think those are things that, again, barring some other thing that we don't know about as it relates to another virus or something that could happen, it looks like, you know, in the next few weeks, this is going to, you know, we're going to be on the other side of this and things are going to look good. I think at that point, you're going to see some positive things. Earnings are up. The other thing is this week we're going to start, the earnings season is coming out. I think earnings are going to be still going to look good. So I think there's a lot of positives in this market. Longer term, I'm a little concerned, you know, with what's going on. But I think for now, yeah, I think it's going to be a positive outlook going forward.
I'm surprised you just said longer term. You're a little more concerned. Why is that? In a minute, we're talking to Tom Fortino. Tom Fortino, you hear Sunday mornings on WGN Radio. He's also the founder of the Alpha Wealth Group. Just a few more minutes with Tom Fortino, the founder at Alpha Wealth Group. Listen for him Sunday mornings on WGN Radio. What time do I hear you, Tom? Is it 6:30? 5:30?
It is 6:30 a.m.
6:30. You make it sound painful. It's a lot of us are up at 6:30 on Sunday mornings. Turn on WGN Radio and listen to a sound series of conversations about the financial world. Why did you say you weren't so optimistic long term? What's the horizon and what were you talking about?
Well, you know, John, it's tough because, you know, all of these things that we don't control, like we were just talking about Omicron, we're talking about, are these supply chain issues going to get resolved? We've got some issues with unemployment. But, you know, if they can get resolved. But I'm also concerned about, you know, persistent inflation. We have an energy, I think we have issues with the energy because what's happening with our whole system and, you know, all of these input costs, certainly wages and energy, two of the biggest input costs, to, you know, just to run the country, right? Whether you're manufacturing something, you're shipping something, you're building, it doesn't matter. And so that is one of my concerns. Are these going to be persistent? In addition to that, you know, some of these unemployment numbers, I know the rate's low, but we still have, you know, 100 million, I'm sorry, 10 million, let me rephrase that,
yeah.
10 million open jobs. We've got long-term unemployment, which is a concern. So those are some concerns I have. Again, I'm not saying we'll see how these things pan out right now. It's just tough to assess all of this in this type of environment, right? We're just, it's until these things kind of resolve themselves.
You know, I was thinking about all of the fast food and fast convenience restaurants like a Panera or a Burger King or McDonald's or whatever that still don't have in-person dining. Some of them do, but a lot of these restaurants just don't. And I thought, I wonder if that'll be the big pivot, that industry is not going to regularly offer in-person dining. I went by a Jimmy John's the other day, and there must have been 15 cars snaking through the parking lot and out onto the street, all of them waiting to get a Jimmy John's. And I thought, I wonder if that's profitable. Maybe they have fewer staff, fewer costs. If they had a smaller footprint, didn't have a dining room, maybe their rent would be less. And I wonder if businesses like that are going to say, fine, if we can't get people to work in these quote-unquote restaurants, we'll transition to drive. We'll have five drive-through windows. Well, maybe that doesn't solve it because now they got to hire five people to run the windows. But you get my point. I wonder if they're going to change the way they do businesses because folks still aren't flocking to those jobs.
That's true. I mean, you've seen in some of these restaurants where they have robots that are waiting on tables.
Yeah.
You know, you have keypads where you punch in, you can do the ordering. So I think there's some of that transition that's going to take place. And so, you know, besides some of the small business owners struggling, you know, you mentioned McDonald's, Burger King, you know, they're trying to offer $15, $20 an hour, whatever it might be. But the small business owners, wow, you know, it's really disheartening. I feel bad for a lot of these small business owners that now say, look, I can't pay that $15, $20 an hour. I can't, you know, I can't afford that. And so we'll see. There's a lot of things that are, that again, need to work themselves out. But that's why, like I said, I'm concerned about some of these things. But, you know, the resiliency of the U.S. economy, of the business owners, of the people that run these companies, that's positive. And so there's still a lot of positive things that are happening.
One last thing, Tom. Any advice for me now that we've turned the corner? It's January 11th. Should I be doing anything with my money or my portfolio or my taxes? What should I be thinking about right now?
Well, there's a number of things. I would say, first off, this is really an opportunity since we're having this conversation. I would say for anybody out there to take a look at their portfolios, and we've had this conversation, do you really know what you own? And so we talked about, should you have some large cap value in your portfolio? If you're working with someone, talk to your advisors, understand what is in your portfolio and what makes sense in this type of market. You know, this is a time to do that. In addition to that, because we're in a new year, there's some opportunities with revisiting to your, if you're employed, your 401k plans. What are your contributions? They've gone up to $27,000 per person per year. If you're over age 50, $20,500 if you're under age 50. So maybe now you can put more into your 401k plan. You also have, we're in a new tax year, so, you know, you can make another Roth contribution. You know, I'm a fan of tax-free. That's a tax-free retirement plan. You can do up to $7,000 if you're over age 50 and $6,000 if you're under age 50. For 2022, you have until April to still do 2021. So
yeah.
A lot of things you can be doing to get more engaged in your retirement plan.
I can contribute more to, what did you say, a 401k this year than I could have last year?
Correct. This year, it's they've increased the contribution levels by $1,000. So if you're over age 50, $27,000, you can put that into your plan throughout the year, and $7,000 into a Roth IRA. In addition to that, they don't that you can do that. They're not exclusive. So I mean, one does not disqualify you for the other.
Right.
So
yeah, but I'm just wondering how many of us realize that and have made an adjustment in the contributions, if you can, to you know, average it out over the course of the year.
Right.
Something to think
about. You have time now.
Tom Fortino, founder of the Alpha Wealth Group. Okay, Tom. We'll listen for you on the radio 6:30 Sunday morning with Elise, and thanks for joining us this afternoon. I keep saying this afternoon. I'm here till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We are half minutes away from this afternoon. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, John. Take care.